I'm Jim Daly, and on today's Focus on the Family, we're going to help families with young girls better prepare for the amazing changes that come with adolescence and puberty. And John, to help us introduce the topic, we've got some comments from teen girls.
So much of like the media affects you because you just see all this stuff on TV and all these commercials of these women looking so perfect, and you're like, oh, okay, if I want to be beautiful, I have to look like that, even though they are photoshopped and, you know, everything.
I hated myself at times and struggled with, you know, eating disorders and was constantly afraid of how people saw me.
A lot of stuff that happened and like a lot of insecurities that I had just with the natural coming of womanhood would have been a lot less awkward if I had like been more informed.
But somebody said that they got their period in sixth grade and I was like, I started my period 3 months ago, and they're like, you're so lucky!
Well, Jim, I'm thinking those comments may make some folks uncomfortable, but in today's culture, it really is important to tackle these issues head on and to help our young girls face these challenges with a biblical perspective.
Well, John, if Christian parents aren't willing to address these tough issues, you know what? You're going to lose your kids because they want authenticity, they want reality, and that's why we want to cover this tough and sensitive subject today. How do moms really communicate to their tween girls about being women? And it's got to be a tough time. I'm thinking of my boys, and certainly they're going through changes in their bodies. But for girls, it's got to be so much more complicated. John, you're the father of three girls.
Mm-hmm. Three teen girls, yeah.
You can speak to this better than I can, so go for it.
Well, there are just so many influences on them, and we have raised them diligently and with good feedback and good communication, but still, I see them falling prey to some of the myths and the lies in the culture, and it really does need a good response from us as parents.
Well, each of you are going to be happy to know that we've invited a woman to help us, John and me, discuss this sensitive topic. Dana Gresh is a good friend to Focus on the Family. She's become really one of our go-to experts in this whole area of raising great kids and what to be doing as a parent in these tween years. And Dana, it is wonderful to have you back with us.
You know, I'm not sure how I feel about this conversation, having this conversation with two men. I'm going to just focus on the women listening today.
I bet you will be. Well, listen, you've written a wonderful book here called 8 Great Dates for Moms and Daughters, How to Talk About True Beauty, Cool Fashion, and Modesty. Those are three topics that are so important for girls, for tweens particularly, to understand. How does a mom get started? What do you do?
Well, you just start talking. You talk. And we know that one of the greatest risk reducers for all the things that a mom fears in her daughter's teen years, the eating disorders, the depression from body image issues, the self-loathing over becoming a woman, this early sexual debut, all of those things can be drastically reduced. The risk can be drastically reduced or eliminated by mother-daughter connectivity, by just having the conversation. It doesn't really matter what you're talking about as long as you're engaged and you're having that conversation. So the goal of the book and really my heart's desire for moms is that they just, that they're connected.
Dana, we've been here before on the program talking about moms and raising boys. It seems to me, and again, John, jump in here because you have three teen girls. It seems to me that raising boys in some ways is a bit easier because the boys...
You are such a man.
thank you. But they develop a little later, boys typically do. They're not as interested in girls, at least that's the trend. I know there's outliers regarding that. But girls tend to be more in tune with boys earlier. They tend to be more in touch with pop culture earlier. It's generally true. Is that accurate or am I out
for lunch? No, that's absolutely true. And especially in the last 10 years, we've seen this prolific growth in the tween market. We didn't even have the word tween 15 years ago. And the result of it, the fallout of it, has been that little girls are being pushed to grow up too quickly.
Now, how does a mom engage that? Do many moms just take it as part of reality today? Or are they worried about it, and do they engage it?
Many moms do take it as a part of reality, and they just think it's how it is, but that would be very dangerous for your daughter because the research really indicates that young girls who are exposed to fashion products too soon, who are overconsumed with their body and beauty image, that they're more at risk of eating disorders, depression, and an early sexual debut in their teen years. And then when they're young adult women and they're in that first few years of their marriage relationship, that they have so many scars on their heart and so many body image issues that they can't enjoy the gift that God has given to them.
Dana, I can only imagine that sounds like a tsunami, because the culture is pounding young girls with body image issues and the advertising and media sitcoms. It's relentless. How does a mom actually find a way to step in the gap and shield their daughters from that kind of onslaught? It seems daunting.
It is a little daunting. You have to do two things and do them well. One is surround your daughter with good friends. Help your daughter pick her friends. Now, that's hard because about the age of 12, something like 82% of 12-year-old girls say moms should have nothing to do with my friendships. You know, if your daughter is one of the 12% who thinks it's cool that you hang out during a sleepover or that you're involved in her friendships, just thank her today. That's a big deal. She's in the minority, and you should be proud of her for that. But no matter what she says, the research really indicates that a mom who's engaged in her daughter's friendships reduces that risk of her growing up too quickly. And the Bible says, he who walks with the wise grows wise. So don't you want your daughter walking with wise friends?
Mm. You're the mom of two teen daughters, and so you've lived this. How do you get ahead of that 12-year-old perspective? How do you get in front of that so you can ensure or do a better job of ensuring that your daughter will be one of those kids that's okay with your presence and their friendships?
You start this conversation when she's 8. Maybe when she's 6. It depends on, you know, is she in the public school? Is she homeschooled? Is she getting a lot of time in the church? Is she in a more at-risk family because dad's not involved or dad's not in the picture? You really have to decide that for yourself, but you really need to be proactive and start when she's maybe about 8 years old to have conversations about her body, to have conversations about that she's going to become a woman and what that looks like and the emotions she's going to go through and the changes her body's going to go through. Have conversations about boys. I meet moms all the time whose eighth grade daughters are in their first relationship. You know, you don't go together anymore or date, you talk. So her daughter comes home and says, I'm talking to a boy. And she says, oh, that's nice, honey. And then her friend says, do you know that means they're dating? And then mom freaks out and says, why could my daughter be dating? She's not old enough to date. And I say, when did you discuss with her what your family standards were about dating? She said, we haven't talked about it yet. She's not old enough. Well, obviously she is.
Mm. Dana, we're not going to be able to get to all 8 of the great dates for moms and daughters, but give us one or two of the ones that you feel are critical.
Well, my favorite one is probably the first one because it's based on an experience I had when I was a little girl. All these dates are very interactive. There's MP3 downloads on my website, so you and your daughter listen to these fun stories, and then you go do an activity, and then there's Girl Gab pullouts out of the book that you fill out and converse. And the very first one is on a girl's value. And what you guys don't really struggle with, because you're guys, is you don't wake up in the morning and say, does this shirt make me look fat?
I struggle a bit with that.
You do? Okay. Well, I'm sorry. We'll talk about that on another show. But, you know, we really do have that proclivity. Mm. Women seem to have that proclivity to believe lies about their beauty. Mm. And, you know, we could trace that all the way back to Eve seemed to have a proclivity to believe a lie. Adam was a lot more passive, but she believed what the serpent sold her. And so I don't know why it is, but we tend to believe things that aren't true about ourselves. And I want these little girls, your daughter, mom's listening, your daughter, to know that she has incredible value in the eyes of God. And so this story that my mom told me through my childhood years was about this potter and a teacup. And he starts with this bundle of clay, and it's this ugly brown lump of clay, and he puts it on a spinning wheel, and the clay starts talking to him and saying, put me off this spinning wheel, I'm getting dizzy, it's awful. And the master potter just says, not yet, I'm not finished with you. And then the next phase is going in that hot kiln, and the little teacup then is crying, please let me out, let me out. And the master potter is saying, not yet, I'm not finished with you. And then there's the fumes and the paint, and it's this long story that my mom just told me time after time, reminding me that God was forming me into something beautiful. Because at the end of the story, the potter puts up a mirror for the teacup. And through all those hard experiences, the teacup is able to understand, I'm beautiful and I have value. And so the mom and the daughter hear that story on the way to a tea party. And at that tea party, some moms do it in their backyard. Some of them do it at their mom's house because she has fine china and linen and all that kind of stuff. Some of them go to tea houses. It's whatever your family kind of prefers. And there they have tea in a styrofoam cup, an everyday mug, and this precious, valuable piece of china that will be a gift for the daughter at the end of the date. But then the conversation shifts that your value is that you are this precious, valuable, delicate, fragile teacup. But the world every day is going to try to get you to act like a styrofoam mug that it can trash, or an everyday old mug that it can just throw in the dishwasher and not treat with care and respect. You need to decide which you will choose to behave like. And it's just this great girl gab time. It's kind of got this own little cult movement. Tea parties pop up all over the place. Nobody knows where the tea party comes from, but hey, I don't really care. But those are the kinds of experiences that might not sound like it has anything to do with sex, purity, body image issue, but it has everything to do with it.
Sounds like it lays the foundation for the other things. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah. The greatest foundation you can lay in your daughter is telling her she has value and she's beautiful. John, do your daughters struggle with their beauty?
Well, they do. I've got a couple of pretty strong personalities in the mix, and yet I think sometimes that's, if I can put it in male terms, kind of a bravado, a cover for the insecurities they feel. So I know they struggle with that, particularly when I hear comments about so-and-so is so beautiful, and I have to ask, well, why? Mm-hmm. What makes her so beautiful? Well, how's her inside? And they get that. They know it, but they still express from time to time.
Well, and every day they are bombarded with images that are unattainable standards of beauty. If I showed you unphotoshopped images of Madonna or Jennifer Garner or all these really perfect icons from either my day or their daughter's day or even Miley Cyrus, you know, they don't look like the cover of the magazine because they are perfected by Photoshop.
You're listening to Focus on the Family. Our guest today is Dana Gresh, author of the book, 8 Great Dates for Moms and Daughters. We're talking about body image and other things. Dana, the body image perspective, it's probably the most tragic because of what we're talking about right here. In fact, John, you mentioned that in your home you had to take the mirrors down, the full-length mirrors on the doors, because your girls were just consumed by looking at their figures. And that I appreciate the vulnerability, but that's probably very common, isn't it, Dana?
Oh, yeah. There was a point where I would say to my girls, you're going to have to pay me a nickel every time you look in that mirror because it's driving me crazy. And they can become very consumed with the outside because the world is very consumed with the outside and sends a message that women only have value if the outside is this unattainable standard of beauty, and none of us can be that.
But how does a mom inject herself into that and give that little daughter enough courage to not need it, to not have to look in the mirror as much as they're looking into the mirror?
Well,
what do they do?
You really have to be confident in your beauty as is defined by God. And the only way that you can become more aware of that is by feasting on the Word of God. And one of the dates that the moms and the daughters do is they pick their favorite serene location. For Lexi and I, we found a lake where I could rent a canoe. And we jumped in a canoe and we paddled our way out to this little private island, you know, and we just kind of sat there in the quiet listening to the Lord and sensing His presence and the reality of who He is. And that date is a kickoff to a 30-day mother-daughter Devo challenge. And we lay something on the line. For Lexi, if she didn't do her Devos every day, she was going to have to clean my closet, which that would have been a really horrific
act of
love. Yes. And if I didn't do my Devos, I was going to have to clean her hamster cage. So, you know.
You were motivated.
I was very motivated. But what happens is that at the end of the 30 days, this little girl was hearing the voice of God about her beauty. She was hearing what he says in Psalm 139, that she is in fact fearfully and wonderfully made. If we do not bring our daughters to feast on that truth, they will feast on the lies the world gives them about their beauty, and they will begin to believe that, and they will become depressed, and they will become discouraged, and they may struggle with eating disorders, and they may act out sexually. This is a battle worth fighting.
How does a mom find the courage to say and do the right thing, to be the parent and not simply the friend?
You know, I thought when my sweet daughter Lexi was little, I thought, we will never go through that teen thing where the teenage daughter hates mom. Never is that going to happen. We were just so close, and I'd been so intentional about spending time with her. And Lexi Gresh hated me at times. She really did.
Yeah.
Fashion, makeup, movies, haunted houses, things that I'd say no to, and every other mom was saying yes to.
So you got that pushback.
Oh, I got that pushback.
Cheryl's mom said yes. Why won't you let me do it?
You know what our combat always was? There was always a mom who was saying no with me, and I always loved that mom. So I would say, what did Abby's mom say? You know, I didn't just say, well, this is why I'm saying no. I would put it back on her shoulders to defend what she thought was the truth, that every other kid was getting a yes, and they weren't. There are other good parents out there.
You know, when our first daughter hit 11, 12, 13, and the hormones kicked in, or as one of her sisters would later call them, horrormones, I wanted to kind of pull back a bit. And I think it can be a really awkward thing, Dana, for a dad. You know, the mom gets some of those emotions and has been there, done that. But for us dads, our teen girls, they need us. We want to run away, perhaps, but they need us. They need us to give them hugs. They need us to listen to them probably more intently than we did when they were younger. Offer a word of encouragement to the dads who want to run but really know they shouldn't.
Well, I think it's admirable that you admit there was some fear there. I know my husband would come to me many times during the onset of hormones and say, oh no, she's turning out terrible. Like, he just didn't understand them. They were very terrifying for him. And I would explain to him, I did this. I went through this. And my parents survived, and she will survive. But two things I really encourage for dads. One is a hug a day. One hug a day. If you have to program it into your smartphone to beep or ring to remind you that you need to hug her every day. Because a girl who is getting her daddy's love is less likely to go look for it from a boy. Conversely, we see that girls who aren't getting fed love by their dad, not only do they look for it in boys, but they tend to date guys 3 to 4 years older than them. So obviously looking for something they're missing. So a hug a day.
And that can't be a side hug, kind of a guy-to-guy hug either.
No.
And that's awkward too, isn't it? I mean, there are a lot of guys who are going to say, it's really weird to have my teenage girl come up close to me and give me a tender hug.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite stories was about a dad who came to me and he said, you know, you really encouraged me today because a week ago, my 16-year-old was in my lap. We were just watching TV, and she jumped in my lap, and I gave her a big hug, and she looked at me. She said, Dad, I have a question. She said, all my girlfriends are so boy crazy, and I'm not. Is something wrong with me? And he said, I didn't know if what I was saying was right, but the first thing out of my mouth was, look where you are right now. You've got all the man you can handle. And what you just said to me about a dad needing to hug her daughter made me realize that what I said was true and it was right. She needs to know that she has her daddy's love and affection. I still need that from my daddy, and I'm not a teenager anymore. The second thing that a dad really needs to do is don't shy away from those scary topics. I mean, you know, a girl's going to get her period. A girl's going to need to go bra shopping. And, you know, I don't even really, like, I feel a bit unholy that I just said that right here on national radio. But you cannot shy away from those things as a dad. Don't be hyper-focused on them. You know, really not talking about them is as much a hyper-focus as talking about them too much. Just be cool about it. Be chill about it. But talk about it.
Yeah. Dana, so often we talk about little boys needing daddies in their lives. So if a single mom has a little boy, to look into the community, your church community, to see if you can find a good set of men that can be there for him. We rarely talk about it in the other direction. What about a single dad that has a little girl he's raising? How does he look for models, role models for her, women that can teach her the things about being a woman? How might he go about doing that?
I think single dads are so courageous. One of the most courageous things I've ever seen a single dad do is to be prayerful and intentional about connecting his daughter to another woman. And maybe that's his sister, her aunt. Maybe that's grandma, his mom. Maybe it's the youth pastor's wife. But it's so important that she has someone to talk to about the things that he hasn't walked through. From cramps to this guy just asked me out and I don't know how to tell him no, and you know, all that kind of stuff. She needs a woman to speak into. Be brave and be prayerful. Just ask the Lord to help guide you to the right woman to speak into your daughter's life.
Hey, Dana, let me play back a conversation I had with a dad. I was talking, my boys are still in elementary school. But this dad, whose daughter goes to public school, junior high, said something to me that floored me. And he said that what they've got to deal with is sexual touch and other things going on at junior high at recess behind the wall or something like that. I was floored. I mean, junior high, I was into football. Girls, I noticed them, but you know what? Clunky, and I felt awkward. And the junior high dance, all the guys stood on the wall, and the girls came over and said, would you like to dance? And you put your hands in your pocket and you said, I don't dance. And you rushed over to get some punch. That was junior high that I remember. When he told me that, I mean, is that the reality of what some junior high school students and girls are facing, the pressure to do things that are so far beyond the line? And what does a parent do?
Well, that is sadly the reality, that there is sex happening in junior high, in middle school. That's why I just plead with parents to have these conversations early. You can't wait to have the conversation, because if you do, the world defines it. The friends who are doing those crazy things in middle school or encouraging your daughter to do those crazy things in middle school are going to set her value system. And it's very difficult to build a healthy biblical moral foundation if that is muddied and confused by friends and the world putting untruthfulness in there before you've been able to plant God's truth about sexuality. Yeah, they rip it down. So what my desire is in these 8 great dates and other tools that I've written is that you start the conversation about sexuality with your daughter at about the age of 8. That doesn't mean that she's learning all about everything at that age, but she's learning foundational things, how to relate to boys, modesty, purity. And then really, it's usually about the age of 10 that you need to consider having the full-fledged conversation. It's certainly some children are ready earlier, some are ready a little bit later. But if you haven't explained to them, these are the basic mechanics of sexuality, and God has created this for in the confines of marriage, you have missed some very critical value formation years.
Well, I think it's the biggest challenge in parenting today. I have 2 boys, and I, you know, so I am not there with the girls. But John, you have 3 teen girls. Danny, you have 2 girls. And I just admire parents in this environment raising young girls to be godly women. I think it's a huge challenge. And I just want to say to Dana Gresh, thank you for being with us and Focus on the Family. Your book, 8 Great Dates for Moms and Daughters. I can't believe a mom that wouldn't want to have that and to prepare her tween girl for those teen years. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And Dana, even though you've been talking primarily to moms here, there's a lot for us dads as well. And I think we can be more supportive of our wives as they take on that task of shepherding a young girl through this important life transition. Our program was provided by Focus on the Family. And on behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here, thanks for listening in. I'm John Fuller.
Well, I was listening in with all ears today as Dana Grish was speaking, because I have three daughters and two of them are tweens. So this is the exact information that I need right now. I was so struck by what Dana said about getting our daughters to feast on the truth that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Because if we don't, they will feast on the lies that the world gives them. And then I truly hope that dads were also tuned in, because Dana urged you to really be there for your daughters during their hormonal outbursts and to make sure that you hug her every day. Dana's book, 8 Great Dates for Moms and Daughters, includes fun mother-daughter get-togethers, perfect one-on-one, or for a small group of moms and their energetic 8 to 12-year-old daughters. Each date focuses on one topic surrounding beauty and modesty and is full of fun, while at the same time imparting a life and faith-enhancing message. You'll find 8 Great Dates for Moms and Daughters online at safamily.co.za, or give us a call on 031-716-3300 to order your copy. Thanks for being with us for today's Focus on the Family. I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you back next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.